exploring their aquatic depths. 540 feet. That's how deep it was here. Ian counted each foot on his way down. The stupid thing was, he could see land. As he was falling, he could see the shore in the distance. If he could only get his body to comply, he could swim there. Sure, it was still a ways off, maybe a mile or two, or perhaps 12, but it was so tantalizingly close. He could almost smell it on the wind. The winds had been gusting high, billowing the sails on the huge luxury catamaran where he was the first mate. That sudden change in weather had been wholly unexpected. They had checked and rechecked the weather before they had set sail, as per procedure. But that's the thing about the ocean. You just never knew what could happen, what could blow up. GPS positioning had shown nothing. Doppler radar had shown nothing. The storm just appeared. Ian had that happen a time or two in his career. You couldn't be a sailor as long as he had without encountering some strange stuff while out on the waters. Like the time they had lost all communications as they entered what was known as the Bermuda Triangle off the coast of Puerto Rico. They had to rely on old-fashioned magnetic compasses, and even those had spun crazily for a long while. They had all gritted their teeth that day, hoping not to run into anything, and even more, hoping to emerge alive. Then there had been the time he saw the faint outline of a double-mast ship. As they had approached it, they saw it was gray and covered in barnacles and seaweed. It was an old ship, ancient, like one that might have sailed 150 years ago. Ian could see the faint lettering on its hull, Mary Celeste. He had ordered a full reverse of his ship's engines, and they had gotten the hell away from there. Leave the ghosts to their own. He wanted to have nothing to do with them. But now, as he sank deeper and deeper, he knew he was as good as dead. The storm had listed the private ship to its side. No railing could have saved him. No rope could have pulled him back in. He had gone sprawling right up and over the side as a huge wave crashed down upon the vessel. The few times he had managed to surface, he had seen small bits of debris and cargo floating. He saw no bodies, and he saw no bulk of the ship itself. He was alone in the turbid ocean, sputtering, kicking. There was nothing large enough for him to cling to in order to keep himself afloat. His clothing was waterlogged and weighed him down even more. He succumbed and fell, weightless, through the depths. His mind was blank, smooth. It felt as if his brain had lost all the crenellations and folds that comprised its lobes. It felt peaceful. He did not panic, even though he knew he was doomed. He accepted his fate with detached wonderment. He couldn't see anything through the mire. He awoke. That surprised him. He did not expect to ever be aware again. He could even see something. It wasn't bright, but he lifted a hand to shield his eyes from it anyway. He heard strange, mysterious sounds. Could they be voices? He strained to listen, but the language was no dialect that he could identify. It was high and squeaky, but then it would change and dip low and guttural. A figure appeared in his vision, female in form. Arms reached out and he felt something slide in his ear, and then something else in his mouth. He swallowed instinctively, then let out a huge coughing breath. His lungs expanded and he felt triumph race through him. He was alive. He wasn't hallucinating. And as he listened, the odd sounds formed into words. "What is it?" You know what it is. It is human. From above. From land. Oh. A pause. It's a weird-looking thing, isn't it? He frowned at this. He wasn't weird-looking. He was just a normal person. As he peered out blearily at the shapes, the figure became more solid as his vision cleared with each breath that he took. Yes, definitely female. Young. At least, to Ian, she seemed young. Then a second figure entered his field of view, also very young. They seemed to be identical. He looked around, craning his head to see his surroundings. A hand came down on his chest, stopping him. "Stay down," the figure commanded. "You need to adjust to the depths. You shouldn't be here. Your species is not made for this. I am surprised your lungs haven't imploded already. We put you in the protection tube, though, just to be sure. We're adjusting the pressure gradually for your own safety." Almost as though it had been summoned by her words, he noticed then the sheer veil shielding himself from them. One of them had reached through it to minister to him. He tried to move the barrier, but he was unable to grip it. It was as though it were locked into place around him. "Be still," the voice said firmly. "Once you are ready, the tube will open. Until then, you need to rest." His eyes seemed to close on their own at the command. He slept, both fitfully and gratefully. When Ian opened his eyes for the second time, he was on some sort of a slab. He was not sure what it was made out of. Perhaps it was coral, or perhaps it was even remnants from another shipwreck. The veil was gone, and he was naked. He felt cold, but he did not shiver. He could tell he was underwater by the way his movements were slowed by the resistance of the weight of the water pressure bearing down upon him. He sat up, moving very slowly. He felt lightheaded, but it passed after he sat for a moment. Once the dizziness subsided, he swung his legs over the side of the slab. "Please," a voice said, "lay back down." The same voice from before. Ian looked around. The same two females were there, hovering at the foot of the slab. At least he assumed they were the same. Since those two had looked so similar to one another, Ian wondered if everyone here had the same features. He could only see their upper bodies as the table obscured the rest. He noticed, for the first time, they were also topless. Their breasts were large and pendulous, swaying as they moved through the water. They came around to one side, and he saw they had no legs. Instead, there was a fish-like tail. The realization of their species stunned him. They were mermaids? Of course he knew the stories of mermaids. Every sailor did. Everything from sirens luring sailors to their doom, to selkies, the gentle creatures who lived their lives as seals while in the water and shed their skin to become human on land, to the shape-shifting finfolk. There were legends abound about these creatures. Even popular culture had its own set of mermaid lore. These mermaids had no seashells supporting their human mammaries, though. These girls were well-developed and entirely unabashed about their ample endowments. They studied him minutely from their position at the foot of the slab. He could feel the heat in their gazes and again felt a little lightheaded and afraid. Doom often surrounded these creatures and anyone who dealt with them. They seemed to notice his discomfort, and they exchanged a subtle glance between each other before returning their gazes onto him. "What is wrong?" one asked him. Ian couldn't articulate the words he needed to respond. The questions seemed to come in a barrage, hitting him in rapid succession. "Your body shakes. Are you cold? Are you in distress? Do you have pain?" He couldn't answer. His voice failed him. He shook more violently. "Let me help you," the other said, floating closer to him. She took his arm and tucked herself underneath it. His hand dangled right before one of her breasts. He couldn't control his shaking hand, and powerless to his actions, it brushed against the swell. "Oh," she said, and grasped her chest, pulling away at him. The touch seemed to change her perception of him, and as she regarded him, she seemed to look at him in a new manner. Tentatively, she leaned nearer to his face, until her mouth was mere centimeters away from his own. Then her lips pressed onto his.
"I kissed a human," she sputtered as she broke away. A delighted grin splashed across her face.
"What was it like?" the other asked her.
"Dry," she replied.
She shook her head, her diaphanous mane of hair floating around her face.
"Here, you try it."
The other mermaid sidled up and pressed her lips more firmly onto Ian's. She kept her eyes open, and Ian could see varied emotions in her eyes. Confusion, contempt, and even, maybe, a hint of lust. His cock began to rise in response to the tentative touch, and one of them giggled.
"Hey, what is that?"
she asked, nudging the other and pointing.
"I think it's an organ of some sort."
She leaned forward, gazing at it in stark wonder and bafflement.
"Can I touch it?"
"Please,"
Ian said, and his voice was strained, and they both stared at it.
"Be my guest."
The one who had spoken reached out a hand tentatively. She barely grazed it with one delicate, questioning finger before jerking her hand back as if she had been burned. Ian laughed tightly at her candid response to his cock.
"It's just skin," he said to her. "Well, I mean, it's a little more than that, but it won't hurt you."
She reached out again. This time, she touched it more firmly with three fingers, letting them linger on the shaft for a moment.
"You can grab it if you want,"
Ian said quietly.
"Just don't squeeze it too tightly."
While the one gripped his cock more tightly, the other kissed him again, more firmly this time. She grabbed both of his wrists and placed his hands on her breasts. He gasped at her unexpected boldness and gripped them tighter. Her breasts were soft, but her nipples hardened against his palms. Her tongue slipped between her lips and into his mouth to tangle with his. He returned the kiss, relaxing his body into both of them. His cock grew harder, and the one giggled lightly.
"Is that your sex organ?"
she asked him, regarding it curiously.
"Yes,"
he said, pulling back from the kiss. His hands lingered on her breasts.
"And it's showing you how much it likes what you two are doing."
The one who had been kissing him moved away from his touch.
"I don't think we should be touching him like this,"
she said to the other. There was a note of doubt in her voice now.
"He shouldn't be up, either. We'll have to tie him down to the slab to make sure he doesn't get into any trouble until we can get help."
One of them swam off a short distance, and Ian saw her reach into a hole in the sea bottom to retrieve a long piece of what looked like stringy seaweed. She swam back, and the other one pushed him back down flat onto the slab. His cock jutted upwards away from him, still hard from their touches. The mermaid took one end of the seaweed rope, and working together, the two of them lashed him to the table. They bound his feet around the slab, then circled it around each wrist. They also added another length around his waist to keep him flat against it. As they worked together to bind him, they grazed against his cock, and the notion of being helpless with them made him even more aware of them and how nubile they were. His cock grew even harder, longer. One of them giggled again as she admired their handiwork.
"I don't think this is helping."
"Shush," the other one reprimanded her. She paused, considering Ian's cock.
"But I want to see it too. How did it feel?"
"Hard underneath, but soft on the top layer of skin," the first one divulged to her. "Almost like a soft moss." The first one, the one Ian began to see as the more studious of the pair, floated above him, peering down at his cock intently. She reached out and pressed down on it and was surprised to see it spring back up.
"Interesting," she mused. "Let me see."
The giggly one pushed her sister out of the way. She pressed on Ian's dick hesitantly, but was also delighted when it sprang back. She grinned and then did it again, then again,
until his cock was boinging up and down like a spring. Ian moaned loudly at their touch, and the mermaid shrank back, startled at the unexpected sound coming from their captive. She grabbed her sister, and they looked at him fearfully.
"It's okay." He raised his head and called out when he saw their alarm. "It actually feels kind of good."
"It looks painful," the studious one noted.
"It can be, but only if it is not relieved," Ian informed her. "But even then, it will eventually go away."
"What can I do to relieve it?" the studious one asked, genuine concern on her youthful face. Ian paused for a moment, unsure if he should take advantage of their naivete. Hell, they were the ones holding him captive, though.
"Have either of you ever, have you ever mated?"
The studious one looked affronted, but the other one broke out in a full-bodied laugh. "Of course we have. We are not young maidens, after all. Tressa has had over 8,000 children. I myself have had only 700 or so, but that was not my fault. The mate's sperm was weak." Ian startled at the word sperm. So they were aware of human reproductive fluids.
"Yes, that is what may happen here, too. That organ produces my sperm to fertilize. But we humans also use it for pleasure, because it feels good when we are able to eject it from our bodies. We not only use our sex organs for pleasure, though, but our hands and mouths, too."
"Mouths?" Tressa, the studious one, made a face of displeasure. "That sounds horrid."
"It is pleasing to me," he countered. "And many of our females enjoy giving it also. They also like their own genitalia to be licked and fondled as well."
The other mermaid looked at him quizzically, then glanced back down at his erect cock. Finally, she asked, "What do I need to do?"
"Put your mouth upon it," Ian said. "You can suck it, but not too hard. It helps if you keep your hands on it, too, and stroke it at the same time."
"Greena," Tressa chastised, "you shouldn't do that."
"Hush," she hissed at her sister. Greena reached out, touching Ian's cock carefully with her hand. "What harm can it do? He's tied down. He cannot hurt me. If it gives him pleasure, maybe it will help him relax until we can find him aid." Ian lay his head back. He lay as stiff as he could, not wanting to frighten Greena or threaten either of them in any way. He lay absolutely still, unmoving on the slab. Greena took his cock more firmly in her grip and started stroking it up and down, concentrating on it rather than on his face. He wished he could touch her.
"One of the main things to this is not to be afraid of it," he said to her. "You can take as little or as much as you like. Don't let me dictate your pace. Now, start slowly. Just open your mouth and place it over the head. Don't bite. In fact, you don't even have to suck it. Just let it sit in your mouth for a moment."
Greena drew in a deep breath and, after a moment's hesitation, followed his instructions. She allowed him to push with his hips against her lips and then between them. "There, that wasn't so bad." Ian continued,
"If you want, lick it a little. Using your tongue is just as important, if not more important, than the actual suction."
She arched her tongue as best as she could in her mouth, impeded as it was by his cock. Tentatively, she used her tongue to brush around the tip, and she felt him swell inside her mouth.
"Good," Ian moaned.
Greena could hear the strain in his voice and felt pleased with herself at her accomplishment.
"Now, if you're comfortable, you can try a little more. I can push, or you can suck it in. If I start pushing more than what you're ready for, just put your hand on the outside of your mouth, gripping it, and hold it firm. That will allow you some control."
She nodded as best she could and opened her mouth a little while still keeping her lips closed around his cock. She slid his cock in a little further, and started to choke a little on his width. He froze immediately as she started to panic and flail.
"Relax," he called out. "Don't panic. Take a deep breath."
Tears had started to form in her eyes, and she took a deep breath, obeying his instruction. Immediately, she started to relax, and her body settled once more.
"See, you can breathe still. It's not as bad as you think. As long as you can breathe, you're okay. If," he amended, "you do breathe."
She nodded again, taking in another breath. He waited until she was calmer before resuming instruction.
"At first, you just need to slowly take my cock into and out of your mouth, so that your lips are wrapped around it the entire time," he explained. "Make sure to use a lot of saliva. The more you use, the better it will feel to me. You'll also find that you can use your tongue to gently massage my penis while it's moving in and out of your mouth."
She started moving, performing long, slowing strokes in and out of her mouth. She allowed it to slide in and out, realizing with each thrust that she was no longer choking. She smiled at him from around his cock tucked between her lips.
"You're doing great," he encouraged. "Now, if you really want to be brave, you can learn to take more of it down your throat. It's a little more difficult, but can be easily mastered with a little bit of practice. All you need to do is relax. Just take a gulp, sort of like you're yawning, only with your lips closed around the penis still. This will open up your airway."
Greena closed her eyes. She wanted to do this so badly, to make this strange human happy. She opened her airway the way he had instructed and heard him groan as his cock slipped past her uvula and into her throat.
"Fuck," he sighed.
Greena opened her eyes, triumphant. She did it. She had taken his cock. She traded a pleased glance with her sister.
"I'm going to start thrusting a little," Ian said, and grunted.
His hips started rising up from the slab. Her hands reached behind him to grip his buttocks. He held her head loosely but firmly against his crotch as he started to shove his cock in and out of her mouth. She gagged a little, and her throat convulsed, but she groaned each time she did so. She began to realize that just because she gagged didn't mean it was a failure. The clamping motion of her throat could be very pleasurable to him. She felt his cock start to throb, and he quickened his pace. Greena realized he must be feeling very good, maybe good enough to release soon. Her fingers pressed hard into the flesh of his buttocks.
"I'm going to come," he told her. "You can either swallow it or spit. It doesn't matter to me. If I'm down your throat already, you'll probably swallow as a reflex."
He thrust a few more times and then halted, smearing her face against his crotch. She felt him shudder and then tasted warmth and salt. She swallowed automatically, as he had said she might. In awe, she screwed up her eyes to stare at him. His head was back, his lips pursed. He bore a carnal expression on his face, and she had to admit that he looked very sexy as he spewed his hot cum down her throat. She floated away from him then, using the back of her hand to wipe at her mouth.
"That was salty," she said. "Like the sea. It was good."
Tressa looked at her closely.
"Are you okay?"
"Yes, it was good." Greena nodded vigorously at her.
"Kind of fun."
Tressa looked over at Ian.
"What can I do to pleasure you? I want to help too."
Ian pulled up on his hands and found they were still firmly bound.
"Well, sometimes it takes a bit for me to recover," he said. "But I wonder, can I ask, how do you mate?"
"There is a small slit on our fronts, below our bellies, hidden in our scales. The male can deposit his sperm there. Some males have a penis, not unlike yours, but smaller. Some shove it in with their fins. Each species is different."
"Do you think I can put my penis in that hole?"
Ian's eyes went down to her belly, then back to her face.
"Will you receive any pleasure?"
She thought for a moment.
"I don't know. It's very perfunctory for us to mate. It just happens. We never really thought of it as pleasurable."
"Tell me," Ian said,
his eyes sweeping over her body. Did you like it when I put my hands on your, mammary glands?
She seemed to think for a moment, considering his question. I suppose I did. A strange feeling emanated from there. It was not uncomfortable. It was just different.
Do your men ever suck you there?
No. She shook her head, her hair floating around her in a gauzy halo. They just come and deposit their sperm, then go away. We live rather solitary lives, I'm afraid.
Untie me, Ian said abruptly, straining his bound arms toward her. Please.
Tressa hesitated, but after a moment of quiet deliberation, swam up to him. Moving quickly, she untied his hands and feet. He was still bound by his waist, but he easily broke those as he sat up.
Come here, he said, reaching for her.
Tressa swam up to him, her body floating just out of his reach. Ian reached for her, pulling her closer. He drew one of her breasts into his mouth, sucking on the nipple, feeding on her. She gasped at the unexpected twinging pain, and in response to her quiet cry, he lessened his drag. He lapped his tongue at the nub, and she let out a quiet moan. It was clear that she was utterly absorbed by the sensations that emanated from it, which circled down from the center of her nipple to pool there in the cloaca. Ian's hand grazed down from her tits, down her belly, to lay flat on her pubic bone, where her scales began. His hand skimmed down her scales, seeking the hole she had mentioned. He found it, well hidden under her scales, just a few inches from where her skin ended. Slowly, he ran his thumb over it, then coaxed it into it. He was very pleased to find it felt very much like a human vagina.
I can already feel how wet you are, he said incredulously. I can't believe how much you want me.
Tressa draped her hands around his neck and brought his face in for another deep kiss. He parted her folds and ran a single finger up and down her slit, testing her wetness with his fingertip. He wanted her hot and panting. He wanted her open and willing.
Trust me,
he murmured against her mouth. She nodded, and he slid his huge body down hers, drawing his fingers from her opening. A moment later, his tongue replaced his fingers, probing gently at her cloaca. At first lick, she was already shuddering. She cried out, unsure of what was happening, her eyes squeezing shut at this novel sensation.
Shh, just ride it out, he breathed against her slit. Let it flow out of you.
He licked her some more, tasting her sweet juices, which were surprisingly not unlike what he had encountered on land. She was sweet, tangy, and even a little bit salty. He reached a hand up to squeeze a tit as he manipulated her cunt with his tongue. When his tongue hit her clit, she convulsed under him, bucking and spasming. He kept licking her, dragging his tongue across her clit, holding her hips down, but allowing her back to arch and extend as she climaxed against his face. After a moment of repose, she finally stilled and relaxed under his hand. He removed his mouth from her. She gazed down her body at him, saw him smiling serenely at her.
Was that your first orgasm?
He asked her. Yes and no. She shrugged at him, her delicate shoulders moving up and down in the water. I mean, I've had a small one, I guess, when the menfolk come to deposit, but nothing like that before. Ian kept stroking her labia as they spoke, his eyes glittering.
Just wait, sweetheart. I have so much more planned for you.
He grabbed her by the waist and took her hand and led it to his cock. She took a deep breath as his hand encompassed her and folded her fingers around his throbbing erection. Her eyes were enormous as she strained her neck to look at it. It seemed so huge in her hand, so weighty and meaty, yet the skin was so velvety, just as Greena had said. She just wanted to rub it against her cheek. He helped her stroke it, adjusting her grip and tempo, going from base to tip and back again.
I'm sorry, sweetheart. I just can't wait. I'll be gentle, but it's still going to hurt.
She nodded her head and lay back. He kissed his way down her body, down to her opening. He ran his cock along her slit for a few moments, teasing it, then leaned in.
Here we go, sweetie. Just try to relax.
She tried to do as he said. She tried to relax, but her anticipation made her anxious. Her tail went straight and stiff, waiting. Her eyes were guarded as she watched him.
Relax, he reminded her.
Then in one swift, fluid movement, he pushed into her. The pain was surprising, sharp and tearing, but it was over before she knew it. His sex organ was much larger than those of the mermen. He paused, waiting for her to accept his girth. Then, with a grunt, he thrust in deeper. She mewed like a kitten as his thrusts became harder. There was some residual pain, but it was quickly overshadowed by the pleasure that coursed through her. Each thrust pushed them up the slab further. She wrapped her tail around his waist, flapping it against his back. He angled in over her, resting his weight on his hands. He kissed her deeply with each thrust, and she moaned against his mouth. Her tail tightened around him, and she could feel every inch of his cock now sliding in and out of her. He was huge, but her body somehow seemed to have been made to accommodate him. She could feel her juices leaking out between them and marveled at the feeling, savoring it. His hands found her breasts again. He plucked at her nipples, and she shattered into what seemed a million pieces on the inside. One last tremendous thrust pushed her up, and he kept her there. They both kept eye contact with one another as he buried his cock deep into her, and he bared his teeth as he cascaded himself into her. Slowly, reluctantly, they became aware of Greena hovering closer. She touched Tressa on the shoulder, drawing her sister's attention away from her reverie.
"I just heard from Hextra. There was a shipwreck on the atoll. It might be his people."
Tressa frowned at this news, a pout crossing her face.
"I suppose we should return you."
"It is for the best," Greena agreed. Ian nodded. As much as he enjoyed this experience, his home was on the surface, not down below with them. Ian realized now that Greena had somehow become the more studious one. Tressa was still in the throes of her own sense of wonder at their lovemaking. She drifted away from him, her eyes not breaking away from him as she floated by his side.
"Thank you for saving me," Ian said humbly as they dragged him between them up to the surface, going slowly so he could adjust to the pressure. "But I think I will miss you."
Greena grinned at him.
"You never know when you may see us again. You have taught me a lot, human, but I think that I may find you again in the future."
Copyright 2021 Foxy Fic, LLC.